Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. My name is Rajesh Lake, and today we'll be talking about strengthening India's maritime security architecture. To discuss this, I'm joined by Professor Anshu Joshi. Professor Joshi, a warm welcome to Akashvani.
Good evening, Rajesh. Thank you very much for having me on your show, and a very good evening to all the listeners.
With over 7,500 kilometers of coastline, vital sea lanes and strategic choke points, India's ability to monitor, deter and neutralize threats at sea is central to our economic and strategic future. In this context, the Ministry of Defense has just signed contracts worth over 5,083 crore for the acquisition of 6 advanced light helicopters and surface-to-air vertical launch Shtil missiles for the Indian Navy. What do these acquisitions really mean for operational readiness, deterrence in India's larger maritime security architecture in the Indo-Pacific? Professor Joshi, the MOD has cleared, as I said earlier, over 4,083 crore for 6 advanced light helicopters and VLS missile system in strategic terms. What key capability gaps are these platforms intended to plug in the Indian Navy's current maritime security posture?
Rajesh, Indian Ministry of Defense has recently signed these two major contracts. They total 5,083 crore to bolster our maritime security by the acquisition of this ALH MK3 MR helicopters and VL Stealth missile systems. So let's understand what kind of role would they be playing in our whole naval architecture and what would be their strategic role. First and foremost, when we look at ALH MK3, the contract that we have signed is valued at 2,901 crore with the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, HAL, for 6 helicopters. And Indian Coast Guard would be the end user of this and these helicopters. And when we look at the features, they would be powered by twin Shakti H1 engines, showing our Make in India power. When we look at the surveillance power, they are equipped with 270-degree surveillance radar and multispectral electro-optical pods. When you look at the armament or equipment capabilities, it includes a 12mm machine gun, high-intensity searchlight, and a medical ICU for rescue missions. So the role actually is targeted at coastal monitoring, protection of offshore installations, and safeguarding our whole marine environment. Okay. So that's all in all is like in nutshell, I can tell you that this would definitely boost our already existing naval guard forces, Indian Coast Guard. When you look at the VL Stealth missile system, this contract is also very high, valued at almost 2,182 crores. This we have signed with Russia, and the purpose is to procure surface-to-air vertical launch, VL, missiles and associated missile holding frames for our Indian Navy. So the end user would be overall our Indian Navy, and the objective is to provide air defense and survivability. So when you look at our air defense, these missiles would be designed to provide rapid action, all-weather engagement against a wide spectrum of aerial threats that our Navy perceives. On the other hand, when you look at survivability, this would enhance our multi-layered air defense architecture and survivability of frontline warships in contested environments. So this deal or these missiles would definitely reinforce the long-standing defense partnership with Russia and also our Navy in multi-dimensional way with their air defense capabilities and survivability.
So you mentioned and gave us the description of the VLS Shtil missile system. This vertical launch Shtil missile are often described as a game changer for shipborne air defense. Can you explain how they alter the threat equation against enemy aircraft, drones and anti-ship missiles, and what that means for the, as you said, survivability of our frontline warships?
When you look at our naval capabilities and the role of this new missile system that we would be having, definitely they are known as the game changers. And for that, we already have other missile systems also. We have cruise missiles like BrahMos. We have SLBMs. We have Barak. And we have other hypersonic missiles also. But they have the capabilities to quickly deter, identify, deter, and target any aerial threat. That's like the major, I would say, plus point. And on the other hand, when you look at our overall system here, that's where you can see that we have 150 to 160 warships and we have 300 aircrafts. And they are anchored by two active aircraft carriers, which are INS Vikramaditya and INS Vikrant. And then we also have indigenous nuclear-powered ballistic missile submarines. So we have surface fleet, we have our own submarine arm, wherein we have two active SNBNs, INS Arihant and Arighat. And we have our air arm also. As I said, we have 300 aircrafts. We have MiG-29K, Rafale M fighters, P-81, Poseidon maritime patrol and all. So that's where we need both strategic and tactical missile arsenal for deterring, for mitigating the threat as well, for targeting and eliminating the threat as well. And that's where they would be giving a huge plus point to our Navy.
So, Professor Joshi, you mentioned about the significant spends that we have, like 2,901 crore for the helicopters and 2,182 crore for the Steel missiles. How do you assess the cost to capability payoffs of these contracts in the current threat environment in the Indian Ocean region?
In past few years, we have seen that how our Navy and predominantly our entire defense mechanism or this sector has evolved and has started operating as like a leader. When you look at our overall defense capabilities at the moment, then we can see that how we are ranked fourth in the world at present. And on that note, when we look at our naval power, our operations are usually led by our indigenous aircraft carriers. And then we have light combat aircrafts also like Tejas. And then we need LCH Prachand helicopters also, which are recently inducted. So we need helicopters also. So the missile system and the helicopters for which we have signed the deal, we have to look at the budget that now we are allocating towards, you know, such kind of purchases or developments or co-manufacturing. And that's where we have to understand that policy-wise, we have transitioned from being a major importer to a growing indigenous manufacturer. And then we have reached a record domestic production value of 1.54 lakh crores in 2025 itself. Okay. When we do any such kind of deal, when we procure such kind of effective, all-weather-proof, comprehensively targeting equipment, definitely once they are installed from that day, they start providing the advantages. And we have already discussed their features. We have already discussed that what kind of role they are going to play for our Navy as well as our Coastal Guard. So when you try to link it with the costs involved and the kind of benefit they would be providing, you have to look at the whole umbrella that we have for our defense, especially in terms of budget. And that's where we can see that we have allocated 6.81 lakh crore for financial year 2025-26.
And to what extent do these contracts advance the goals of Atmanirbhar Bharat in defense? Are we looking at deep indigenous content and technology absorption, or are there still critical dependencies on foreign suppliers that we must address?
Rajesh, that's a very good and critical question, because one hand we keep speaking about our mission of self-reliance and Vikasit Bharat 2047. So we have to understand that earlier we used to purchase only the equipment, not even the technology we used to get. Now we have evolved, wherein we have centered our naval power and policy on indigenization. So that's where Navy is rapidly expanding its fleet, and we are aiming for 170 plus ships to be ready by 2035, homegrown, focused on aircraft carriers, nuclear submarines, and advanced surveillances. So that's where we are running different projects also, and we have certain foundational pillars. So for example, security and growth for all, our Sagar Doctrine that we announced in Mauritius in 2015, and then we elevated it to Mahasagar, and Maritime India Vision 2047. So that's where keeping the strategic goals of regional stability, our own maritime security, providing humanitarian assistance and anti-piracy operations, we are focusing on indigenization and self-reliance. So let me tell you that we have 51 ships under construction. We are rapidly reducing our reliance on foreign vendors, manufacturers. We are enhancing our operational autonomy, and we are strengthening the domestic defense manufacturing ecosystem. That's where we are also promoting innovation, new entrepreneurs, our youth brigade, and private players. And for that, we are also trying to create such kind of environment by helping the youth force or the new entrepreneurs to come into this sector and co-manufacture, co-develop equipment with Indian government.
So, Professor Joshi, with rising naval presence of major powers in the Indo-Pacific, what strategic message do these acquisitions send about India's intent and its role as a net security provider?
Rajesh, again, it's a very good question, and we can align this recent announcement, this purchase, with our security and growth for all Sagar doctrine. And this shows India's commitment, India's vision to enhance maritime cooperation in Indian Ocean region and, of course, in other regions as well with the like-minded nations. And that's where we can see that we have also signed agreements with other nations to, you know, work as a net security provider. So too, with the policy of neighborhood first and to prove our capabilities of being a net security provider, we have, apart from like these equipment that we develop by signing contracts and agreements with other nations, our own public and private companies, we also have launched different projects like Sagarmala and Project Mausam. And then we have also started this integrated coastal surveillance system. That's where coastal radar systems have been sponsored in a number of Indian Ocean region countries like Maldives. So Maldives actually plays a pivotal role in our Sagar policy. There are many such countries that need support in terms of funding and equipment from India. So that's where India comes as a net security provider and has been working with countries like Maldives and Sri Lanka, Japan, Seychelles. And then we are not only working on manufacturing and purchases, but on the other hand, we are also trying to create awareness related to maritime security and this whole maritime domain. And then we also do joint exercises. We have started maritime dialogues with other countries. And we are also trying to make an environment wherein these regions that we look forward to remain influence free, stable and prosperous. And that is the main, you know, mission of India with its maritime policy, especially okay. If I give you the example of Sagar.
Professor Joshi, another question that comes to my mind is about the maritime security is now a multi-agency domain. How can these capabilities be better integrated with the Coast Guard, Air Force and other maritime agencies to build a genuinely unified maritime security grid?
That's where when you try to align our different capabilities in terms of equipment as well as the three branches that we have, definitely India has been working on that since a long time. And there are like multiple systems where we have already aligned. So we have, for example, the nuclear powered submarines and different types of missiles that we have developed, and naval and air power when we combine, when in operations are launched and led by our aircraft carriers with the missile system. And submarines are also used for the same. So when you look at India's naval policy at the moment, there we can make out that how we have the kind of image that we carry now is of net security provider from like only a regional maritime force. That's where it makes us a leader. So that's where we are focusing on indigenization. We are focusing on alignments. We are focusing on self-reliance projects that cut across different wings and branches. And we are also working on promoting our strategic assets and technology in like, again, by like alignment. And by doing so, we are like, I'm just giving you the example, we are expanding our fleets. So the number of surface combatants that we have, we are focusing on submarines also, wherein we are constructing different conventional submarines. And then by doing all these things all together, as you said, that there has to be unification is not possible in a day or two or in a week. And there there are points where we need, you know, compartmentalized approach also. So having said that, keeping that in mind, our forces actually try to remain comprehensive, yet very effective, targeted and operationally always ready.
On that note, we thank our guest, Professor Anshu Joshi, for sharing valuable insights, and we thank you for joining us on Spotlight. Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.